I do. A day late and a dollar short. While the cults, you know, put out slick covered stuff that really people see it and they want to read it because it's attractive. And when our last spring we were on a mission trip and some of our students said, "Boy, I wish we had these tracts. I'd take them to my village and give it, put one in every home." And so I began to get a burden for getting some good tracts made. And so we're going to have LifeGate or Ford Porter tracts printed, the colored ones, and so that we can, we're going to have them in Russian and Ukrainian. And your gift will definitely be a great help in accomplishing that. Let me just take a few minutes and talk about Ukraine, which is hard for me to do in just a few minutes, but I'm going to do that. Of course, you know that we have the Slavic Baptist Institute. We travel over there back and forth four times a year. People say, "Do you live there?" No, we don't live there, but we travel back and forth because we have to constantly be on the road when we're home to keep the funds raised to come in for running the school. The school costs us about $8,000 every session because we pay the transportation of the students. And of course, we have staff we have to pay, interpreters, translators, all kinds of responsibilities. And so we have to constantly be doing that. And God has been good. We just finished our 16th year at the Slavic Baptist Institute. We started with 22 students in 1996. This past year, we averaged over 80 students for the entire year, each session, and we rejoice in that. We have got have had 120 graduates now, and they're probably 98% of them are somewhere serving the Lord, maybe in Russia, Moldova, Belarus, Ukraine. God's been good. In fact, we've got one in China. We've got one in Norway. So we're beginning to see them spread out and be doing things that we've been praying that they would do. We, of course, on the mission field, we emphasize missions. We emphasize our preacher boys to have the power of God in their life, to have a fire in their heart. And we thank God that we have some knuckleheads too. I mean, you know, every school has some like that. But the truth is, I remember when I went to Pillsbury my freshman year, after my freshman year, the president of the school, Dr. Monroe Parker, called me in, said, "Neil, we don't want you back. If you come back, you come back on probation, but I believe you've been the cause of all the trouble on campus." I felt that was a little tough, but I went back, and that second year, I ended up preaching an evangelistic meeting. Preached John 3:16, the first message, two people got saved, and Dr. Barker saw that there was some hope, and so that's the way we look at it. Sometimes we think they are knuckleheads, but some of those guys turn out being the finest preachers and the ones with the most fire. So God's been mighty, mighty good to us. One of the things we do with our student body is that we ask for volunteers, and every May we take a missions trip where we take 20, 25 of our students, and we'll go somewhere where there's not a fundamental church, Baptist church, fundamental church of any kind, and we use it as a missions trip. That way we're teaching not only our students as far as the classroom, but we're giving them practical experience also. And our students just absolutely eat it up. They love going to these villages, and they walk up and down the streets handing out tracts. They'll go to the bazaars and bus stops, and they'll gather together and sing. And nobody sings like the Ukrainian people do. And they just, there's music in their hearts. And so we do that, and then we start the week that way, and then on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we have evangelistic services. Of course, during the whole time, we're advertising where we're going to meet, and then we take those who trust Christ during those evangelistic meetings, that becomes the nucleus then for a new church. And in the last 4 years, we've had these mission trips. We've seen five new churches planted, and that's a blessing. But in the years that we've been there with our students and with what I've been involved in, we have seen over 80 churches planted in the former Soviet Union. And I absolutely don't know what to say. It just seems like it gets gooder and gooder, you know. And I thank God for the blessings. Our camp ministry. I remember when we started, we used to send kids to camp for $10. Now it costs us $30. But you compare that with the camps and how much it costs to send kids to camp here in America, that's a pittance. And the thing about our camps, most of our Christian camps here, you really end up with mostly Christian young people, the camps. But in Ukraine, most of our campers are unsaved. And we've had camps with 85 unsaved kids. I mean, the entire camp is made up of unsaved campers. And this past summer, we saw scores and scores of young people trust Christ. And of course, then they're gathered into a local church, and they begin to grow. And eventually, we hope some of those will end up at the Slavic Baptist Institute and go on to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're excited about these various things. And one of the things that we're doing, are you familiar with Reformers Unanimous in this area? We hooked up with them about 3 or 4 years ago, had some of their materials translated into Russian, and we took it over. Brother Currington went with us, and Brother Burks went with us, and we had 31 chapters sign up for the program, but it just hasn't gone. It just kind of been laying dormant. So I talked to them and I said, why aren't you doing it? They said, because it just doesn't fit Ukraine. And so I went to the leadership at Rockford and I said, we need to do something. We need to make some changes. And so Brother Burks told me, he said, Brother Cadwell, it's yours. You do whatever you want to do. You adapt it. We're going to leave our hands totally off. You just go ahead and run the program. And so we're going to be able to, we don't understand, we're not there to make Americans out of people. That's not why you go to the mission field. You go to take the tools that God's blessed us with here in America and use those tools to give to them that they can have tools that are adapted to their culture so they can win their people. The culture, and as long as the culture doesn't violate a biblical principle, then it's okay. Now, some of the churches over there use wine in their communion. We don't participate in those services, and they know that we don't believe it's right, and so we don't participate. That would be a violation, I believe, of a biblical principle. But as long as the culture doesn't violate a principle in God's word, we're okay with whatever the culture is. And sometimes you have to compromise. You have to become Ukrainian, if you please. So those things are really important. But the addiction program is unbelievable. The World Health Organization lists Ukraine as epidemic when it comes to alcoholism. It's a terrific, terrific problem. And we now have an opportunity. There's over 30 rehab homes in Ukraine that we're going to be able to work with and teach and help them to have programs that help them to reach more of the addicted people. And I'm going to be telling you some stories about addicted people who've gotten saved and who are coming to the Slavic Baptist Institute. Also, I could talk to you for a long time about orphanages. We've involved with two orphanages. Pastors can bring in to 10 people, orphans, into their homes if they have enough room. And we got involved with a couple of pastors. We had to raise some money to enlarge their houses so they could have that many orphans. But here are orphans under godly leadership, a godly home. I mean, everything is possible. I mean, even orphans in the orphanages, the state-run orphanages, many of them are treated worse than they're treated by their own parents. They're literally beaten and abused in these orphanages. And there's over 100,000 orphans in Ukraine. So there's all kinds of ministries. The last trip I made over there, I was in one of these rehab homes, and I was sitting there before the service got started, and I thought, I see preachers here in America sitting on their backside doing nothing. And I look at what's in Ukraine, and probably every missionary feels this way, but the fields are literally white unto harvest. And folks, the political change. Kazakhstan's just passed a bunch of new laws. It's virtually impossible to go there as a missionary. Uzbekistan. Russia is now changing back to some of their stuff, and it's going to be just very, very difficult to go to Russia as a missionary. Belarus, the president of that country is crazy. I mean, he just absolutely is nuts. I get going and I get wound up. But Ukraine is still free. Now, we have a new president of Ukraine, Yanukovych. He's been in prison twice before he became the president of the country. He's old-fashioned communist. They don't call him communist anymore. He's playing kissy-kissy with Putin, who's going to be the next. He's going to be returning as president of Russia. So things are not looking real bright. But in Ukraine, we still are free to do anything we want to do gospel-wise, preaching the Word of God. And we have a saying back in the state of Iowa where I grew up when it came to putting aside hay for the animals, livestock. You got to make hay while the sun shines. The hay, the clover's got to be dry before you bale it. It can't be green. It can't be wet. Or you put it in a barn and it'll get so hot it'll literally in moments burn down a barn. So we need to make hay while the sun shines. It's terrific, terrific needs. And I could go on and on and on. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Revelation, chapter 5, and I want you to notice with me. I'm sorry. Yes, Revelation, chapter 5, and verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Then slip over to chapter 7 and verse 9, and again the same basic thing mentioned. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. I read these two verses as I was reading them, and I said, man, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe, every nation. And the word nation there in the Greek is the word ethne. And that literally means peoples. It's kindred, it's tongues, tribes, not nations, but every people in those nations. In other words, whosoever will may come. God has placed no limit on who can be saved. And really, that's the idea, the title, if I were to have a message, that God has no limits. God has no limits, folks. There's never been a person that God has said no to who came by faith, acknowledged they were a sinner, and asked Christ to save them. God will redeem them. I want you to notice five things this evening, quickly. We'll be in by about 8:30. No. I want you to see, first of all, God is not limited by those who are socially unfit. We're going to spend a lot of time in the book of John. The Gospel of John, please, and chapter 4. Many illustrations. Here we read in John chapter 4, the woman at Jacob's well. And you know the story, how she comes. Christ is there, and she's a Samaritan lady. And as she comes, the woman, verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And of course, that was verboten. I mean, a good Jew doesn't talk to a Samaritan. They were the offscouring. They were the scum of the earth. And yet Christ said, give me water to drink. In verse 10, and Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And you know the story. He knows that she has had several husbands, and that at this point she's not married. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. And she understands that she's talking to Jesus, to a prophet, a man who knows what's going on in her individual life. But we see here a woman who's not pure, a woman who's not a godly lady. As far as society, she's unfit. She's a Samaritan. But my friend, I want you to understand, even as this lady comes to know Christ, God has never limited anybody because they were socially unfit. God places no limits. I want you to listen as we had a man come to our school from the Carpathian Mountains, and he came to my office along with my interpreter. Sergei's been with me now 15 years, and I'm not Moses, but I'm kind of like a Moses, and he's my Aaron. He's my mouthpiece. And he came into the office, and Sergei said, I want you to see this. And he took his shirt off, and he had a big tattoo of Lenin on him. And the guy was dyed-in-the-wool communist. And this fella, he was well-known in the Carpathians because he had a place in one of the towns where he had his own soapbox. And he would get on that soapbox, and as people walked by, he said, I hate you. I mean, people he didn't know, no matter who it was, I hate you. I hate you. And then there was one of our fellows who had been addicted, who got saved, began to witness to him and began to read the scriptures to him. And he spent some time in prison. He was given a Bible. And there came a time where he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. But he didn't give up his soapbox. Now he takes his soapbox to the same place and he stands on that soapbox and says, I love you! Forgive me! I love you! Forgive me! I love you! See, God's not limited as to who can be saved. The truth is, so many times in our churches, we get to the place where we kind of categorize people. And we say, boy, these folk would really be a blessing to our church. But we go by some who probably are not quite so clean and nice. And maybe they have some addictions. And maybe they live ungodly lives. But we ignore them. because they're socially unfit. One of our young men, he's about 6'4", and he's as big as a Mack truck. And I don't mean big like I am, but he's big. He's hard, you know. He's all, and he just has a holy desire to serve God. But he was in the mafia, and the mafia gave him orders. And there's a lot of background, and I don't have time to go into all that background. But the mafia gave him orders to kill the mayor of the city of Kharkov, the second largest city in Ukraine. And he showed me the place where he stood, where he was appointed, if you please, because the mayor was coming by there and he was to kill him. And somehow he missed, or it just didn't work out. He didn't kill the mayor. But while he was in prison, somebody gave him a Bible. He began to read the Word of God. God began to work in his heart. People began to show him love. And Sasha got saved. And I tell you, he's one of those fellas that'll charge hell with a water gun. We were on one of our missions trips, and the police were driving down the main street of the town, the village that we were in. And he stepped out and stopped him. Said, "Whoa!" Reached in his pocket and pulled out some gospel tracts. Said, "I want to tell you about Jesus." Hello? God is not limited by those who are socially unfit. He died for everyone. And he wants to save each and everyone who will come by faith and trust him as their personal Savior. But I want you to notice, secondly, he's not limited, and I'm going really fast tonight, so he's not limited by those who are physically unfit. Turn with me to John chapter 5, please. John chapter 5, and here we read about the man who's at the pool, Bethesda. And there came certain times, seasons, when an angel would come and trouble the water of that pool. And the first one who got in the pool after the troubling of the water was made whole of whatsoever disease they had. And Christ came by and he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And I remember the first time I read that, I thought, why would he ask such a stupid question? This man's been like this for 30-some years. Of course he wants to be made whole. Why would you even ask a question like that? But that's what your pastor does. That's what he's doing these days in India. That's what Brother Lazlo did for many, many years here at Buffalo Ridge. He stood before an audience and said, "Wilt thou be made whole? Will you trust Christ as your Savior? Will you let him change your life?" And the man, to me, some of the saddest words and thought in all of God's Word is here in John chapter 5. The Bible says, "The man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me.'" He said, when the angel comes and the water is troubled, I drag my body, I claw the ground, I do everything I can to try and get in the pool, and just when I'm ready to get in the pool, somebody gets there before me because I have no man to help me. I have no man. Before I went into evangelism, I pastored a church in Kinsley, Kansas. And I was out on visitation one day, and I talked to a car dealer in town. He was 90 years old. And as I witnessed to him, I said, "Sir, has anybody ever told you, has anybody ever taken the Bible and shown you, like I'm doing now, how to trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, And he'd lived in Kinsley for 50 years. He said, nobody's ever told me the story of salvation. Sir, I have no man. What tragic words. But the Bible's not limited by those who are physically unfit. God said to him in the next verse, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. A young man came to the Slavic Baptist Institute, probably one of the finest, if I could say this, one of the most spiritual young men that we've ever seen go through our school. But Ivan had a hard time seeing. When he studied and when we read Bible verses, he literally had to get his face almost in against the page in order to be able to read. We said, Ivan, is there anything we can do? Is there any kind of operation? Can we take you to America? I said, is there some way we could get you? He said, no, nothing can be done. A pastor told Ivan one day, he said, Ivan, you use too much Bible when you preach. Boy, I tell you, I wanted to slap somebody upside the head, and it wasn't Ivan. God doesn't put limits on people because they're physically incapacitated. God's not limited by those who are physically unfit. Notice thirdly with me this evening, he's not limited by those who are morally unfit. John chapter 8. Here we read about the woman that was taken in adultery. In the very act, the Bible says. And they brought this woman. They wanted to trap Christ. They wanted to do a number on him, if you please. They tried to tempt him. They might accuse him, verse 6 says, but Jesus stooped down with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And you know, as you read the story, these folk were convicted in their own conscience and they began to melt away. Pretty soon the crowd was gone. Verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. God's not limited by those who are morally unfit. I guarantee you, if you went across most of our fundamental Baptist churches in America today, if you had 10 prostitutes walk in and sit down in the front row, there would be people who would be appalled. What are they doing in our church? Who are they? What are they? They ought to be in church. We ought to bring in those that are physically unfit, those who are morally unfit, those we ought to have them in God's house where they can get under the sound of the gospel and have their lives changed and no longer be someone who walks the street. One of the ladies, a mother who came to our school from Belarus, she came and she had to spend 24 hours making different connections just so she could get to Slavic Baptist Institute. She'd been a prostitute. But God saved her. And she came to school and finished 4 years of training. And today is teaching Sunday school to boys and girls in a fundamental church in Belarus. God's not limited. I think of one of the men who came to our school from Belarus, a former KGB agent, a commandant of her prison. And he hated Baptists. He hated Baptists. After the supposedly democracy came to the former Soviet Union, he said, Baptist churches are springing up like mushrooms after a rain. He hated them. But one day in a drunken stupor, he ended up in a Baptist church. Listened to the gospel preached, went back another Sunday and another Sunday, and got saved. Came to SBI, spent 4 years, and now is serving God in the country of Belarus as a child of the King. God's not limited, folks. It's us who limit God. He's not limited by those who are politically unfit. You see, Brother Cad, you're going to talk about politics. Ain't none of my trust to begin with. Luke chapter 19. Here we read about a little fella by the name of Ron Comfort. No. Brother Ron and I are close friends, and we make fun of each other all the time. But this is one of his favorite messages, I guess you might see. But in Luke chapter 19, we read about a tax collector. His name is Zacchaeus. And he's so small he can't see because the crowd is so huge, so he climbs up yonder in a tree. As Christ comes by, he sees him and says, hey, come down out of the tree, Zacchaeus. He said, we're going to come to your house for lunch today. And people are saying, why? What's he going to the home of a sinner? Why, how awful, how wicked. Verse 5, Luke 19, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. And come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they murmured, saying, he that was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. But his life was changed. Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as also a son, he is a son of Abraham. And how do we? There was evidence he got saved, boy. He said, I'm really restored to people fourfold. I mean, his life was changed. I remember years ago, we were in Minnesota, an evangelistic meeting, and the mayor of a nearby town came to the evangelistic services. So we gave the invitation. That mayor came forward and trusted Christ as his Savior. Sometimes we act like those who have a place of position are untouchable. But God's word can penetrate any heart. One of our students went to a village called Malalinchi. We held a crusade. Got a church planted. The building today is packed. But one of the first converts we had was the mayor of that city. See, God is not limited by those who are socially unfit. He's not limited by those who are physically unfit, those who are morally unfit. He's not limited by those who are politically unfit. All of us could name a lot of people that, you know, I'm tired of everybody being a Christian. You say, what do you mean, Brother Cato? Everybody's a Christian today. I mean, if you get your votes, boy, you'll be anything you can be. help us. We need to see lives changed. I want you to notice, fifthly, this evening, he's not limited by those who are mentally unfit. Go with me to the Gospel of Mark, please, in chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Here we read about the maniac of Gadara. This fellow is a powerful man. They'd bind him with chains. He'd snap the chains. Verse 4, because they had off-bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He ran in the mountains and the tombs day and night. He was running around naked. Verse 7, he cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. No matter who you are, no matter what the situation is, if a man will fall down before Jesus Christ, he can be saved. God can change his life. And I could stand here tonight and tell you story after story. I see the men that come to our school out of these rehab homes. And there are colleges in America who would never let anybody like that come to their college. I don't understand that. Here are guys who have been addicted. They've gotten saved. And they want to serve God. And these are first-generation Christians. They don't have the tradition and the religiosity that so many people have. And they suck up the truths of God's Word like a vacuum cleaner. And they literally, as I said before, are willing to charge hell with a water gun. They're on fire for God. They want to serve God. They want to preach the gospel. They want to see folk get saved. God's not limited. God can save your neighbor. God can save your lost relative. God can save your coworker. And friend, if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, God can save you. If you, by faith, trust him. Let me say three things and we're going to close. God has no limit, but we limit God by not going even though he's commanded us to go. There may be someone sitting here tonight, you know that if you were honest and open before God, that you ought to be making plans and preparing to serve God on some mission field somewhere around the world. Having a heart for worldwide missions. We limit God by not giving, even though he exhorts us and challenges us and teaches us that we're to give. And we limit God by not praying, even though the Word of God teaches us, he teaches us how we're to pray. Going, giving, praying. I wonder what would happen, Brother Lasley, if every church member would just say, God, take control. My life's yours. And I'm not saying that there are folk, there, nobody here has done that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying after preaching 50-some years, I know there are people who are playing games with God.
But if we'll take God at His word, there's no limit as to what He can do. I tell you, it was a blessing tonight to see the choir, full choir, and to hear them sing. It's a blessing to see this kind of crowd in a Fundamental Baptist church on Sunday night. But I wonder what we could do if we take off the binders and just said, Lord, as the Apostle Paul, when he got saved, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What's your will? Not my will, but your will be done. God has no limits. Every tongue, every tribe, every kindred, every nation, or every people. Worldwide, God's in the saving business. Let's stand for prayer, please. In just a moment, I want us to sing Have Thine Own Way, page 306, I think it is, in the hymnal. As we sing that song as an invitation time, I don't know your hearts, don't know your lives, don't know your needs, don't know where you're coming from. But if God's spoken to your heart, friend, that's a holy time and a sacred time. Maybe there's a young person here tonight that needs to just be willing to fall on their knees and say, God, I'm yours. I don't want to be someone who limits God. I want you to have complete control of my life. Maybe there's a young couple. Maybe there's a retired couple. Somehow, God has spoken to your heart and challenged your heart about this matter of limiting God and worldwide missions. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you might do that which the flesh cannot do. We don't trust in what we've said, Father. We trust in what the Spirit of God wants to do in each heart and each life. We ask, Father, that you'd bless even as we sing this song as a time of invitation. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. For it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Let's sing, Have Thine Own Way, Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. As we sing, if God's spoken to your heart, we invite you to come. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'm sure what the pastors will be able to help you and have somebody pray with you. As we sing, you come, please.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield it and still. Have thine own way, Lord,
have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
As you stand there tonight, can you honestly say before a holy God in heaven, my heart is right about this matter of missions? Or if you're honest, you say, preacher, I've been limiting God in my own life. God spoke to your heart. We're going to sing the next verse. Going to sing it just for you. You come as we sing, please.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my speaking absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
As Brother Cadwell was preaching tonight, I thought about a man whom Brother Bob and I saw the other day down at White's, or not White's, Food City. We're driving out, and it's had a sign that says, I'm paralyzed, and I can't. How many have seen that guy down there? Who has stopped to give him the gospel? I haven't, but I'm going to with the Lord's help. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they hear without a preacher, a messenger? Aren't you glad that whosoever meant you? But folks, it means all the people around us. I praise the Lord for Brother Cadwell, and I give faithfully to Faith Promise, but I'll be honest with you, it's easier for me to put a check in the offering every other week when I get paid than it is to go talk to a guy down at Food City and give him the gospel. Now, folks, the world is dying around us without Christ, and we're doing nothing. We are limiting the gospel. Oh, it's not limited, but we're limiting it. I wonder if tonight God has put someone on your heart. He's put someone on my heart. And Lord willing, next time I see that man, I'm going to pull my car over, and I'm going to go down, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to give him some money or give him something to eat. You got to have wisdom about that. But I want to give him the gospel. Has God put someone on your heart? I'm going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'm going to have the ladies play one more verse. If God has spoken to your heart about someone specifically, I'm going to ask you to come and pray for that person right now. Last verse, you come if God's speaking to you. This way. Brother Cadwell, thank you for being with us tonight. You challenged my heart. Aren't you glad your Faith Promise money goes to a man like this? Over 80 churches established, a school, many folks saved because of his ministry in Ukraine, and we thank you. He did not mention it. I guess you don't mind. It's in your prayer letter, but Brother Cadwell is battling, I guess, cancer. And is going through radiation treatments, I guess 5 a week, once a day for the next several months. And let's pray for him. He's had his first week of treatments, has several more to go up in Indiana where he's living. And let's pray that God would help him. We need him to keep going, don't we? And we need the Lord to touch him and continue to use him in a mighty way. And I encourage you this week, let's not limit the gospel. We are limiting God. I've always been amazed by that verse in Psalms where he said to the Israelites, you've limited me by your life. Let's not limit the gospel. God has someone he wants you to reach this week. Let's be faithful. Let's pray, and then I'm going to dismiss the teens and their parents to go downstairs. And if you need to sign up for the seniors' meal here in a couple weeks, back in the blue room, you can see the shoes. Lord, you have convicted my heart. Lord, there are people all around us that you want to save. And we are limiting the gospel because we don't give out the message. And Lord, I pray that this week we would be listening to your Spirit. And we would be obeying your Spirit and giving out the gospel. I pray for this man whom I have seen now several times down at Food City. And I pray you'd give me an opportunity this week to give him the gospel and that he might be saved. Lord, help us to be soul conscious, we pray. We continue to pray for our pastor and the men traveling with him. For Brother Harry, as he stays there in Maysot, may you bless them, give them safety, anoint their ministry. We continue to pray for Brother Cadwell as he's going through these treatments. May they be effective in wiping out this cancer in his body. And Lord, may you touch him and strengthen him as he seeks to carry on the work during this time. And Lord, just touch him physically and help him, we pray. Pray you bless the churches, the school, the orphanages that he spoke of, the camps, these great ministries that you've used him to raise up. Lord, may you just have your hand upon them, and may they increase. May you use them in a mighty way. Bless us this week. Help us to be faithful in giving out the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you to stay right where you are just a moment, unless you're a teenager or the parent of a teenager. You folks go ahead and slide on out. Move this way quickly. We'll let the rest of folks go as they depart. Lord bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Thank you.